All right, we're still on the on Tom's smashing walnuts. All right, we're still on the seven of consolation, and these are the we're not reading this according to the three-year cycle. We're reading this to see something else. But anyway, Isaiah 52, Isaiah 51, starting verse 12. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of man, that he shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord, thy Maker, that stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he not be loose, and that he should not die in this pit, nor that his bread should fail. Excuse me. But I am the Lord God, thy God, that divideth the sea, whose waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth, that say unto Zion, thou art my people. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk of the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There's none to guide her among all the sons of whom that she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she has brought up. These two things are come upon thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted, thy lie at the head of all the streets as the wild bull in the net. They are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the Lord. What does it mean to be afflicted and drunken, but not with wine?
Self-seeking.
With self-seeking,
no. Yeah. The wine of Ephraim. Anyway, that doesn't sound very consolation yet, does it?
Yeah.
In verse 22, thus saith the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again, but I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground, as the street to them that went over. What does that mean?
Well, it could be giving their life to save others.
No, the idea of lying down and let others pass over. This is the remember we studied once many times the idea excuse me that if you're in a leadership position in the church that you have no other life, you have no life of your own, and that you are laying down your life even unto death so that others may pass over. Well, that's, we probably don't do that very well. But anyway, let's go on. It gets better. We're going down to verse 12. Yeah, we're going to read the first 12, these 12 verses. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Now, it's Psalm 48. Let's go there real quick. We'll come back to this. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole world or the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now, a better translation is that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation. And no matter what state you're in, that it's beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. And remember, the sides of the north, it's an awkward translation. I'm going to go through this, and look, you watch it, because I have it in my mind, and I can't pick out a little portion of it. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of your God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for every situation, the joy of the entire earth, is this Mount Zion, the new Jerusalem, shrouded in a mystery, the city of our great king. Now that's what, to me, and after careful translation and even asking the rabbi what, because that's an incredible psalm, but you miss it because it's got this weird translation.
Yeah, so, the sides of the north, that I remember you teaching on that, you miss it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the sides of the north is the whole mystery. It's protected. It's not to be understood by our senses. There's no way you can understand the mystery of God by our senses. It just can't happen. You can understand, the only thing you can find out is what it isn't. That takes a long time to find out what it isn't. Remember, I've often said there's three ways. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob represent the three ways. They're all incredibly important and mysterious, but they're not. We think we want the faith of Abraham, but it took him 100 years before he really saw. He was following almost as a child in many instances. He was screwing up right and left, giving his wife away a couple times. But yet he's the first model, the faith of Abraham. Now, Isaac was incredible. It was who was Isaac?
You said who was Isaac?
Yeah, I said, did Isaac have another name?
No,
but Jacob had another name. He had Israel.
Thou shalt no more, yeah, you're right. Thou shalt no more be called Jacob. Thou shalt be called Israel. All right. Anyway, let's go on and finish this. No, that's enough. I just wanted you to get this idea that you only come to the mystery of God. And I've said it 1,000 times, by repentance. That's all, because otherwise you are going to mix it with something of the world. But it may not, that instant, relatively instant revelation that Isaac had is rare. And then some that get it just go ahead and screw up anyway. Well, so it's the faith of Abraham, which is simply, I don't want to do that anymore. That's what most people have. If they have integrity, they're going on, and that you come to a place, I don't want to do that anymore. And remember, you never know really what you want to do, what will satisfy you. You only know what doesn't. And that's how your life has progressed. I pray now that you all know that no matter what you call it, the only life is in Christ. Now, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what happened with Jacob? He's the one, the struggle, the fight, the story in the Bible is shortened, but if you look at all of the scriptures about Jacob, he got in trouble all the time, screwed up at one time, time after time after time. So those three, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, represent what the from God's standpoint, what each one of us are going through. But to all of them, to bring us to repentance. Now, it's probably each of those three are in all of us, but one is dominant. So when we read, it's funny, when no matter what I happened, no matter how I was over the years, and with a few exceptions, I could never pray for myself. And I still can't. A couple times I got so desperate I'd do anything I'd pray for. Anyway, so the idea that you can't pray for yourself, or shouldn't, it's a childish thing to do, it puts, you have to put everything back on God. As I've said so often, I don't want to be a citizen of the world. I want to be a stranger in a strange land as I see the world. I only want to be a child of God, a child that has no mixing with the world system. And it's the only way if you find yourself leaning on your own arm of understanding or using your mind, or the only way out of it is repentance. And say, Father, I don't know what else to do. This is what's set before me. I don't know what else to do. Because you have to always eat whatever it's the grace or the suffering. You always have to put it back on God. Otherwise, you slowly slip from faith into what's called Christianity today, like the idea that God wants Christians in office. No, he doesn't. But yet, does that communicate? That's one of the reasons we're reading this. Okay, let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 52. Where did we stop?
I think we stopped in verse 1 or 2.
Yeah.
One maybe?
Yeah. Awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garment, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. And remember, that's why we just read that psalm, or retranslated it about. It's Jerusalem, but it's the new Jerusalem. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught, that they that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name, therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, this thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when they shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go you out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go you out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessel of the Lord. For your eye shall not, for, excuse me, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go in, go by, oh God, I've got to get my glasses. When do I get my, when's the next appointment for glasses?
Well, it's to have your...
October 15th? Or?
I think it's in October, I'm not sure.
Oh, all right. I need glasses. And verse 12, for you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will be before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward, or behind you. I just want to read these next two. We're going to read them later. But behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, the kings that shut up their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them, they shall see, and that which they had not heard, they shall consider. Well, that's the fourth. We've got three more to go.
That is a shorter.
But I want us to have the kind of, if we wrote something, I would like it to, I mean, it should encompass all this. If we live it, it should encompass all this. It isn't just reading a book about something. It's always seeing if something doesn't, if your life doesn't measure up to what you see in the scriptures, there's only one way out. Repent. But you can't repent if what you're doing, you don't think it's bad. But that's this again. It's the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, take a big breath.